Welcome to Austin on the Air, candid conversations about air filtration and air quality and the impact it has on children and adults at school, work, and home. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Austin on the Air. Today, we have a very special guest. We have Heather Mitz with us. She currently runs athletic training programs, and she is a motivational speaker sharing what she calls the gold medal mindset.
Thanks, Stacey. I'm excited to be here and to be an Austin Air athlete.
So I am so happy to have you on. Thank you for joining us. So maybe to start, if you want to just kind of give our listeners, you know, some backstory on what you've been up to.
Obviously, I started playing soccer when I was six. It was something that, you know, I've always loved. I still love to this day. I guess after my freshman year, kind of decided to focus solely on that. My mom, we had three kids in the family. So she asked me to pick something that I love. And I said, it's soccer. And she said, soccer, you can't play soccer when you're older. And I said, that's okay, because I love it. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is finding out what your passion is, and just going after it. And luckily I was able to play at University of Florida. I was thinking about, you know, finishing up my college playing career and going back and getting my master's in sports broadcasting, but had this opportunity to play in the first ever women's pro league. And that led to having an opportunity on the U.S. women's national team, and was able to play soccer for, you know, up until 2013. And then, you know, I retired and started a family. I'm a mom of three now. So that's kind of what my focus is.
You're busy.
Coaching my kids, both my oldest, my 9-year-old and my 7-year-old. And as you mentioned, now the Track Legends program and the motivational speaking. So excited to be here with you.
Awesome. Thank you. So I can give you a little bit of background on what, you know, this podcast is. We are doing a mental health series for this month in May. And we've decided to do this because, you know, we're finding that more and more, it's a lot of different types of people that struggle with mental health. It's not just, you know, one demographic anymore. We're seeing a lot more people, athletes, that are being a lot more outspoken when it comes to mental health. And it's not just here in the United States. There was a study done by the University of Toronto that found almost 40% of athletes, elite athletes there who were training for the national team, admitted to struggling with some type of mental health situation. And I found that so surprising, but at the same time, you know, not, because of everything that you guys, I imagine, have to go through. So I kind of want to get your thoughts, you know, is that something that you saw when you were training for the Olympics?
I don't think that it was spoken about as much as it is now. I think that people in general are definitely more open to talking about it, because they realize that they're not alone, that there's so many people that are going through that themselves. So it's great to see that if someone is having some issues, that they're able to speak about it. I mean, that's part of working through it, right? That's part of realizing that you're not alone and that there's others out there just like you, athletes, normal people that are also going through it. So, you know, I think that more that we can talk about it, the more that people will be able to work through that issue.
I think it was May 2021 when the tennis superstar Naomi Osaka, she withdrew from the French Open because she was concerned with her mental health situation. There was a lot of people then after that came forward and were outspoken in their support of her. Serena Williams, Usain Bolt, Michael Phelps. Yeah, I think that's true, that there are a lot more people that are speaking out about it. Now, obviously, there's a lot of driving factors, but from an elite athlete standpoint, you know, what do you feel are some driving factors there? Is it, you know, praise and rejection component? Is it trying to juggle so many things? Is it the, you know, stress of always having to compete?
I mean, there's already so much pressure that we put on ourselves, you know, and just to realize that there are so many people that do put us on that pedestal, and they think, you know, that we don't have other things behind the scenes that are going on that we're having to also juggle on top of trying to be our best, you know? So I'm happy to see that, that people are speaking up, that people are coming out from different genres and showing support, because all athletes understand and realize the pressure.
Yeah.
And, you know, not everybody handles it the same way or can handle it the same way. And I think that Naomi Iwasaka coming out and taking a break was the right choice, obviously, for her. And it's great to see that support. And everybody's different, right? How they deal with things. And so then I think it's coming down and deciding what's best for you. And if you do need to take a break, then take a break. You know, you have to do what's best for you. It's your life. You have to live your best life. Right. It's not about what, you know, anybody else thinks about you or what the repercussions are going to be. It's about just, you know, just trying to take one step forward every single day and make the most of every day that we have on this planet.
Yeah, I would imagine as an elite athlete, that's probably very difficult to do what's best for you, because yeah, you have the stress factor of trying to do what's best for all the people who are watching, right? You know that people are watching, that people are kind of depending on you for different things. So,
and you have sponsors.
Yeah.
You have, you know, a lot of people that are backing you, that I think sometimes there's fear that you will lose those sponsors, you will lose that, your support group, you will lose your fans.
Yeah.
And so there is a lot more on the line, but ultimately it's like, you just got to make that best choice for you. And I'm happy to see that she did do that, because I think that really resonated with a lot of people. Like, okay, fine. She made the best choice for her and that worked out. And so if I ever get in that same position, it's going to work out for me as well. Yeah. Sometimes you just need that one person to kind of go out there and set the tone, to realize that that's what needs to be done. And you can follow in those footsteps as well. But ultimately it's about doing what's best for you.
So I'd like to hear a little bit more about your training program, trainlikelegends.com. Tell me a little bit about that, you know, and how that kind of plays into all this. I know that there's a lot of positive physical and mental things that happen when we exercise. You know, we release endorphins and there's so many beneficial things, but there's also that very fine line where you can overtrain, you can train too hard, and then that, you know, that has a very negative effect on mental health. So maybe just talk to me about your program a little bit and how you see mental health play into that.
So when I retired, I just kept kind of figuring out, like, how can I give back? How can I connect with the younger generation and take what I learned through my playing career and share that with others? And so Train Like Legends was created to help female athletes specifically, to, you know, not only is it about strength and conditioning, because I saw by being really super fit that just helped me to enjoy playing even more. Mm-hmm. And sometimes soccer players need a little help, right? Any little help to become stronger, and also to become more fit, but that also aids in confidence, especially for female athletes. We also have a component to it where it's a community aspect where, I just share all types of tips. It could be, you know, maybe a great like snack to have before or after a game. I also share a lot of mental tips that helped me to have longevity on the U.S. Women's National Team that I'm able to turn back around and just share with the female population.
And they, I think, oh my gosh, they struggle a lot, probably a lot more, you know, than we did at their age, because they live in this whole other different world with, you know, social media and all these other things that really negatively impact their mental health. So yeah, I feel like the younger ones really probably need a lot of encouragement nowadays.
I agree with you. I think it's really tough. I'm happy that I didn't have social media until the very end of my career. I can't imagine the demographic now that they're having to deal with on social media. I think there's some positives, but I think there's a lot of negatives.
Yeah.
So, you know, just trying to figure out what exactly that is, following things that are going to help you to have the right positive mindset and not compare yourselves to others, because ultimately we are good enough. We were given this body. We were given our minds for a reason. So just trying to figure out how you can be the best that you can possibly be and not compare yourselves to others. So just sharing those types of things on the Train Like Legends app, but also I think just in general, I think social media is really tough. And, you know, I do, we probably won't let my kids be on there for a long, long time. And if they do, it'll probably be monitored. Just because I see how hard it is today. I know eventually they'll be in high school and they'll be in college, they'll be off on their own, but you just try to steer them in the right direction to live the most positive lifestyle.
It's hard. Yeah, we held out as long as we could. We have four daughters, and so when our older two were getting to that age, we really tried to wait and wait. But, you know, it's hard because that's where a lot of kids, you know, they hang out nowadays. It's, they hang out online. They hang out on their phone. And so it does, it's something that they feel they need, you know, to socialize. But at the same time, it can be used in a negative way that negatively impacts mental health and on so many levels.
I think social media and just our society in general is there's so many expectations that we put on ourselves, right? So just making sure that we're focusing on the right types of people to follow. Yeah. We're, you know, just trying to be the most genuine person that we can be, and owning our own identity is just a really important part of success. Yeah. I think that the younger demographic definitely will get a lot out of the gold medal mindset. I think it's, you know, establishing that those basic thoughts from a young age. And then if you just incorporate those into your life, I mean, you're bound to be able to achieve a lot from them. But I think it does apply to both, because quite honestly, even as adults, you know, we have to continue to have a positive mindset and to dream and to set goals for ourselves and
not stuck in that.
No matter what. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're in your 80s, you got to still, you know, set goals and continue to have a positive mindset in order to lead the best life.
Do you think that trying to juggle so many things, you know, for elite athletes, that kind of plays a role too? I mean, like, you know, they're traveling and maybe they have families back home and they have all these different things going on, whether they have foundations or this or that. That's a lot that they have to juggle. Do you think that plays a role?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, for me, luckily, when I was a professional athlete, I didn't have a family. I honestly don't know how these women and men do both. I hold them on a very high pedestal to be able to juggle. We had a couple of women that were playing on the U.S. Women's National Team that had kids that they were bringing them on the road. And, you know, one of them was actually our captain. And even after I retired, I write her all the time. And I said, you are a superwoman, because I don't know how you were able to do all of it, but somehow they just do, right? Like, they don't know any different. And I know that when you're a parent, you just kind of have to, like, you know, take it day by day, and you're just cruising and you don't even think about it. But
it's probably even more important for people that do. I mean, because they have a lot of people depending on them. They have a lot of things to juggle, a lot of hats to wear. So they're probably even more so.
Definitely. And I never used to do this, but now I kind of saw I was just going, right? Mm-hmm. And then eventually what happens is the wheels fall off. Yeah. And I realized that I needed to incorporate more self-care. I never did self-care before. And so for everybody, self-care is different, right? Mm-hmm. But I know what I need in my life now. And I actually program that into every single day to make sure that I am just taking that time, whether or not it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just for myself, the things that make me happy. So, you know, I know that's easier said than done, especially when you're working a job and you're raising kids, but, you know, being able to find that time during the week to program in your self-care is so detrimental for your mental health.
I think that there's a lot of people who, you know, are training too hard.
Detrimental. So, yes, I think sometimes we don't sit by ourselves enough. I meditate now, and meditating has probably been one of the greatest things that I have added to my life. I did it during COVID, because it allows you to have that time just to be quiet and to think. And I feel like a lot of times that's when your thoughts come to you, and that's when your realizations of this is what I need, this is what I don't need. I need, you know, and a lot of times we don't take even a second to think about what those things are. So I think it's just being more honest and listening to yourself. I tell my daughter all the time, listen to your body, and your body will tell you what you need. So something that I never did. Yeah. I never did it. I was 100% an overachiever and overworker. My body started to completely and totally break down towards the end of my career. I fought tooth and nail to make the 2012 Olympics. And obviously I look back on that and I'm proud of my determination and being able to achieve that. But I also go, I wish I just would have listened to my body, because my body was trying to tell me. And, you know, it is what it is. But now I try to share those things with my daughter and obviously the younger generation, because it's so important.
I'd like to switch gears just a little bit and kind of talk about something, you know, that we talk about a lot. And that's how environmental factors impact mental health. I mean, people talk a lot, you know, about how pollutants impact, you know, the immune system and respiratory health, especially, you know, but I think it's sometimes overlooked how much environmental factors and toxins and pollutants do affect mental health as well. I mean, they're breathed in, you know, things that are breathed in through the nose have a direct impact on the brain. So I'd like to maybe switch gears and talk about that a little bit too.
I think it wasn't till the first time I ever went to China. We would go to China every single year to play with women's national team. And obviously they have high population of people, a lot of pollution. And that was the first time that I realized how much the air quality affected me emotionally, my mental health, just everything, performance, you name it. And so I just appreciated the fact that in America, we do have better air quality. You know, that was one thing when I came home, I was like, oh, thank goodness. I live in this environment as opposed to that every single day. But as a mom now, I really do appreciate and take into account the air quality, not only outside, but inside my own house, because I can control what is going on inside my own house. So, you know, I think that's why it is important. We have a couple of the Austin Airs in my house and in various rooms. And I do believe that it makes a huge difference to the quality of life that we're living. So it's controlling what you can. And obviously, you know, everybody's environment's different, but you know, you can't control what's going on at school, for instance, with my kids, but I can control what's going on in my house where we're sleeping, where we're spending the majority of our time. So just trying to take those things in consideration.
I mean, we're seeing it a lot, so much. It used to be, you know, it was just asthma or allergies or COPD, but there's so many other things nowadays that are impacting, you know, our health as far as what we're breathing in, from the VOCs, the chemicals, all these different things are playing such a role. And we're seeing even, you know, kids that are losing IQ points because of these pollutants, and that they're in our homes. What about recovery, rest and recovery? I mean, obviously we talk a lot about rest, you know, at Austin Air, because I mean, we are huge advocates for quality sleep. You know, we have our bedroom machine air purifier, because, you know, that's super important when we're talking about the overall health and well-being of people, obviously, is getting that quality rest and having the clean air in the home, especially while you're sleeping. I mean, because we forget, you know, that these chemicals that we're breathing in, they have an elevator to the brain, right? I mean, and so that these chemicals can, you know, massively impact how we feel. I mean, a lot of them are even endocrine disruptors, and our hormones obviously also will impact how we feel. So maybe talk to me a little bit about the rest and recovery that you advocate for and with your different training programs and the people that you work with and talk to.
Yeah, I think that rest and recovery are just as important as the training aspect. And I think sleep is definitely one of those things that might be one of the most important. You know, we need good quality sleep. And, you know, making sure that you're getting between 8 and 10 hours a night. Yeah. That also means getting off of your phones before you're getting ready to wind down to bed. You're not scrolling, because that light actually allows you not to get into a good REM sleep. So little things like that, but just back to what you were saying about all of the things in your house, right? Every single house, whether it's a new house, whether it's an old house, there's just so many pollutants inside. And I know a lot of people that we're seeing dealing with like mold, dander, you know, there's so many factors. And once again, it's just trying to control what you can. So, you know, just having a good way of being able to clean the air, so you're getting fresh air while sleeping and while you're getting that 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night. But, you know, rest and recovery is super important. You know, another great option for all athletes is ice baths. I used to do them all the time when I was in college. Never loved them, but you know, yeah, there's more and more studies coming out. I mean, I would be like freezing. Yeah. But there's more and more studies coming out about how just ice baths really are just so beneficial to help you recover. And I'm just so glad that I stuck through it and was able to do them throughout my playing career. And I still do them today. So just another little thing that can help people get ahead.
Do you think that lack of sleep is a big thing for a lot of elite athletes because of their schedule and what they have going on?
Yeah, of course, because, you know, majority of elite athletes are in their 20s, they're in their 30s, they're still wanting to be social sometimes, you know, they are on their phones. Like, I think those things really kind of get in the way. There's very few athletes, I think, not very few, but I would say a small majority that are just completely and totally dedicated during those years, right? They are 100%, you know, getting that 8 to 10 hours of rest. They are, you know, doing everything possible to make sure that they are playing at their highest level. Most athletes are still trying to juggle it all, right? They're still trying to see their family, to see their friends, to be social, to be active on social media, you know, you name it. So I think it's really hard to juggle all those things. They really do make a difference.
If there's any kind of advice that you could give for fellow elite athletes, you know, that are listening, what would that be?
It's a small window. It might not seem like it, but you know, these are your best years. So take advantage of it and just do everything possible to be the best that you can possibly be. You know, looking back on it now, it's like, even when I was in college, like, it's like, I wish I would have, you know, taken my education even more seriously. I wish I would have studied even more. And now as an athlete or as a retired athlete, I just wish that, you know, maybe I wouldn't have been as social, you know, I would have just really, really focused on just being the best possible athlete. And I wish I would have listened to my body more, because my body was definitely just trying to tell me. So, and towards the end, I think, you know, as we age, even though we're still young, I was 36 when I retired, that's very young, but from an athlete standpoint, like, that's like ancient. So, you know, you can't push as much towards the end. You really got to be like, almost like smarter about what you're doing rather than just trying to be that overachiever that you've been throughout your entire career.
What's your advice for people who are listening, who, you know, this is kind of resonating with them and they're like, okay, they're listening to us thinking, all right, I struggle with this and this and this. I know I got to do something because my mental health isn't in a good place, but they don't know where to start. You know, what kind of advice can you give them on, you know, how to take baby steps or where to start, what to do?
So I think the first is just that you're not alone. You know, there's so many people out there that are feeling the same way as you. And then maybe sit and try to figure out exactly what it is. A lot of us don't like to face our fears.
Yeah.
But if we face fears, then we can move forward. Anxiety is usually brought on a lot of times by like things that we can't control. So I think control what you can control. There's a lot of things that are always going to be out of our control, but if we focus on the things that we can, those are our thoughts, you know, those are our actions. Those are the things that we watch, that read. So making sure that it's positive and it's leading you in the direction that you want to lead in.
What are some things that you tell, you know, the clients or the people that you work with when it comes to your gold medal mindset, you know, to help people? Maybe they think, you know, that they're just never going to be able to get there, or they're unsure, not real confident. What are some things that you tell them?
Even towards the end of my playing career, in 2012, I didn't think I was going to make that Olympic team. But I just told myself to go out there and have a positive mindset, to make sure that I gave it my all every single day. So then that way, if I didn't reach my goal, at least I would never question whether or not I did everything in my power to make it. Luckily, my hard work paid off. And so for that, it just made me realize that if you have the right mindset, that anything is possible.
Yeah. About your support system, you know, I imagine that you had a good support system, whether trainers, coaches, you know, family, friends. You know, what would you say to people who maybe don't have that? You know, I feel like a lot of times people feel like they're stuck on this island, you know, and they don't have people that they could count on or that can support them. You know, maybe speak to me a little bit about how important it is to have that solid support system.
And it does once again come down to who you're surrounding yourself with.
Yeah.
You know, I at one point in my life was not surrounding myself with great and positive influences. It wasn't until I went away to University of Florida that I was able to get a great new group of friends that are still my best friends to this day. That were hardworking, that were smarter than me, that were fitter than me, you know, and that helps you to achieve more, to drive and to want to be more like those people that you're around. So I think just surrounding yourself with good people that are who you want to be like. Yeah. I think that that they say you are the sum of the five people who you spend the most time with. So a lot of us don't even think about who those five people are. So think about that for a second and then just make sure those five people are positive influences.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's huge with younger people too. I mean, especially females for some reason, you know, when we talk about the younger females, that there's the mean girls, right? And so a lot of times it's being drawn to the negative. And it takes a very, really big, courageous person to be like, you know what? Nope, you're not part of my five.
We all want to be included.
Yeah.
We all want to, you know, I think even more so with the younger generation, it's like you want to be one of the cool kids. You want to be, but quite honestly, I think it's about figuring out like who you are, finding the people that are like you and who respect you, love you, who will be your friends, who will bring out the best in you is what's most important. Just being confident in who you are and knowing yourself is the first step to success.
Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you wanted to add, you know, when it comes to mental health, something that you think people really should take into consideration and think about, you know, when they're trying to better their mental health and get on track that way?
You know, I think sometimes we just get overwhelmed with all the things that we need to do in life.
Yeah.
So, you know, my dad He had Alzheimer's and he ended up passing what is almost a year ago. And I feel like he always was just trying to make everybody else happy. Yeah. And so my wish for him was just that he would have done more stuff that would have like made him happy, go on more trips, and do more self-care. And so he kind of just showed me that that's what I need in my life. And so hopefully I pass that along to all of you.
Probably the most important thing that we can probably take away from this whole thing today, right? I mean, is what we can do for ourselves to help ourselves and recognize where we need to be and where we need to get to.
You know, obviously the greatest man on the planet, like always just trying to make everybody else happy. But my hope for him is that he can make himself happy, you know? And so I learned that from him, and now I'm trying to pass it along to my kids, and hopefully we all have an opportunity. Every day is a new day. Yeah. It's about putting one foot in front of the other and really just tuning in to what makes you happy. Like, that doesn't mean you're selfish. No. That just means that you're trying to live your best life. And quite honestly, if you take care of yourself, you'll become a better person, and then that will resonate to everybody else.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that is such a misconception, you know, nowadays. It's like, there's this mindset of, I gotta do, and all of the things that I gotta fit in, you know, and pack my day so full that when, by the time I lay down for bed, it's like, what in the world just happened? You know, we're not actually living our best life, because we're not even living our life. We're just kind of running around from one thing to the other, and we're missing so much. I think that's where a lot of the stress comes from. Okay, well, that's all I had for today. So I am so grateful that you came on and you took time to come on and talk about this topic that is just so important. I'm super grateful for your time, and I thought it was a great conversation, and I really think that what you've contributed here and what you've said, you know, and all the things that you're doing with Gold Medal Mindset and trainlikelegends.com, I mean, it's super impactful. And so thank you for that. And I look forward to next time.
Thanks so much for having me on. All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Austin on the Air. For more information on air filtration, air quality, and respiratory health, visit austinair.com.